so I'm grateful and thankful. Matter of fact, tell them to somebody and tell them, I see you. Tell them, I see your magnificence. I see your magnificence. Tell them, I see your beauty. Yes. I see your power. Uh-huh. I see you. It's good to be seen, is it not? And I'm not talking about the outer exterior of being seen. I'm talking about being seen and acknowledged for your beingness. Understanding and knowing that who you are matters to life. Who you are is significant in the overall scheme of things. Because if it were not true, you would not be here on this planet. You've come for a divine purpose and a divine appointment, have you not? Yes. And so, you know, if you're not sure of why you are here, get still so that the Spirit can reveal to you your path, your purpose, your position, your passion that only you can do and only you can bring to life. So it's good to know that we're needed. We are a needed expression of the divine, right? God is omnipotent, but God needs to express through me. Because God created me for that purpose. And that's a powerful thing. So sometimes we forget that. And when we move into those states of unconsciousness, when we move into those states of forgetfulness, then life becomes a burden. Life becomes stressful and hard to maneuver through because we have forgotten who we are and whose we are, right? And so we're here today to continue with our delving into the understanding of the art of handling stress. Because life can bring you not only stress, but it can bring you some mess, right? And so we want to be skilled in the art of handling stress. Now let me say this. I want to begin by saying that not all stress is bad. Not all stress is bad because oftentimes it can be a great motivator, right? It can get us to move when the time and or circumstances dictate that it's time to move. You know that song, I'm a move when the Spirit says move. Sometimes life will give you an opportunity to let you, it's time to move. And so that stress is a good thing. It motivates us. When that deadline is due tomorrow at work on this major report, that stress you're feeling can move you and motivate you to get it done, right? And some of us work at the midnight hour. Some of us like that last-minute energy, that stressor of getting it done. And sometimes stress is an opportunity for us to recognize that it's a signal that is calling for our attention. It may be that stress may be a signal that says that something needs to be done. And so we pay attention to that. Or sometimes stress can serve as not only a signal, but it gets our attention because it's a clarion. It's something that is voicing its energy to us. It's sounding the warning bell and the trumpets. We're hearing that something's going on that needs to be changed within our lives and affairs, or that maybe there's a need for transformation, or that something has to change on some level. And so stress is that motivator, that signal, that indicator for transformation. Now, stress becomes a negative when it is unheeded or unaddressed over a long period of time, right? When it begins to destroy the body and weaken the mind. Unaddressed stress will destroy the body, right? And weaken the mind. And so then it becomes a negative force, not necessarily a force for good. It becomes harmful when it causes us to feel a sense of separation. Separation from that which normally would have us feeling united and feeling a sense of peace or feeling connected or feeling that we are whole and a part of the good in life. But we feel set. So if you feel fractured and if you feel disconnected, if you feel that something's not quite right or that you are actually exhausted in and from life itself, then stress is not serving you well. It's harming. And so we've got to be able to recognize what kind of stress factor, what kind of stress is going on in our lives. Is this a good thing, moving me, motivating me? Or is this a stressor that is tearing me down, causing me to feel separate and apart? Last week when we were talking about this, I told you that we would just touch upon a major stressor in life. And I told you what it was. I said it was what? Who remembers? Oh. Now, so you're going to make me have to start testing you on Sundays. Remember, who say it? Say it again. The need for control. So one person got it. Well, sometimes I pray, Lord, let just at least one person get the message. So thank you for that. I said that there's a major stressor that we would have to look at, and one of these major stressors is this need to control, right? We either want to control the outcome of things, or we just simply want to be in control of things. And I was laughing. Reverend Charlotte was here. She said, well, I don't need to come because I know I don't have any control issues. And she was laughing when she said that, right? Because some of us think we don't have any control issues. And that might be true when you have reached a certain level of consciousness. So I'm not going to say that there might not be some amongst us who have reached a certain level of consciousness where there is no need for control. But for the rest of us, that there is a it's an innate thing that as this human condition, we want to be able to figure out and to know the outcome of things. And so if I can control how it's going to turn, I'll feel more secure, right? I'll take this leap of faith. I'll take this risk if I know that the outcome is going to be exactly the way that I have what pictured it. If I can control the outcome, then I'm safe in my expression of taking the risk. And so we like that. We want to be in control of it. But we fail to recognize that there are some things, some life, some situations, some things that we have no control over, and that actually control is an illusion. It's an illusion, really, because there's only one presence and one power in the universe, and that is what? God the good. In my life and in my affairs, the divine is in control. God is in control. Yet, at the same time, we are co-creators, right? So you have to be able to deal with the paradox, okay? So God is in control, but yet, yes, we are a co-creator. We do indeed have a part to play in our lives and in our affairs. If we didn't have a part to play, then things like prayer wouldn't work. Why pray if you don't have any part in affecting an outcome? See, there's a difference between affecting an outcome and trying to control the outcome. Big difference in there. But we have a part to play, a role to play. We're a conscious co-creator. But that doesn't mean because I have a part to play in my life and in my affairs, doesn't mean that I am the assistant manager of the universe. Right? Because, see, it's enough trying to manage my own life, much less to manage the universe or somebody else's life. You know, we can't manage our own, but I think I can manage your life. So let's admit, some of us try to, whether you're a parent trying to manage your child's life, and at a certain point when they're little, that's necessary. But sometimes parents forget and they're all up in grown folks' stuff when let them manage their life, right? Come on, we laugh, and of course, we are it, and we, you know, we do that. And I tried, she tried to manage my life, I tried to manage her life. We're trying to manage each other. But the task is not necessarily to be the manager of the universe. It is what is happening in my domain. I'm the captain of my soul, right? And the captain of my life, not necessarily of life itself. Because God is in control and God is in charge. So the thing is that we have to decipher where is our addition? Because we do add to the story that is being played out in our lives. James Dean said this. He said, I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination. And I love that because this is a great idea. It says that there are some things that we do not have any control over. They just come. Stuff sometimes what? Just happens, right? It just happens. It doesn't mean that, you know, I can't control an impending disaster or that there might be storms that come up in life. I can't control that. However, I can control how I want to adjust my sails. I love that. I can't control the thing that has come, but I can control how I'm going to engage it, right? I can control how I'm going to interface with whatever has come up, how I'm going to interpret it, how you see it, how you name it, how you experience it. Those things are what within your control. You get to name it. You get to claim it and to experience. If you want to name it bad, so be it. Then it will be what? Bad for you. If you want to name it good, so be it. Then it will be good for you. Shakespeare said it best when he said, nothing is except what thinking makes it so. You get to name. And then when we name it, you know, we will fight everybody and anybody to keep our right that this is terrible, it's bad. It's great, it's good. But there's power in that. But we must remember that we are the ones naming and claiming that experience as such. And that's where our power lies, you see. Because how you name it, how you see it, and how you experience it will in fact affect the direction of your life. If you name it bad and it's bad, then you're going to move in you'll make a certain choice and move in a certain direction. So you do have an ability to change, to somehow direct the energy of your life, but not the storms, not the stuff that may come. That you have no control over. So what happens if we spend our time trying to change the wind, well, then it might be stressful. It might be a struggle. And not only that, it might be actually a waste of time. We got to stop wasting time bemoaning why the wind has come up, why something has come up, right? Why it happened. And we've asked it, well, why did this have to happen now? I don't know. It happened. And so the time we spend questioning why it happened to us or happened now is time that we are wasting affecting, well, what do you want to do about it? How do I want to engage this happening? See, I'm wasting time with what occurred as opposed to what do I want to do about it? Because what that says is, how do you want to set your sails? How do you want to adjust your sails so that you can move forward? Because that's the key to moving forward on this journey of life. The winds are going to come, but then you have to be fluid enough to adjust your sails and set them in the direction. If the wind is blowing here and you need to go over here, then you might have to fix your sails to help get you over here, right? So what this says is that we are not fighting the wind, but we're learning how to flow with it. Not fighting your circumstances, but learning how to maneuver them. Maneuver your life through them, in the midst of them, to adjust. Because that's the key to growth. How do you adjust to what is? Because this life is constantly changing, and so therefore we must be very adept at learning how to adjust. I'm heading in this direction, but this popped up. I didn't see that. This was an unforeseen experience. So now I need to, okay, I need to either go around, I need to go down, under, over, whatever. I need to do something to get to where I need to go. But what I don't need to do is stand there and try to fight with what is. You know, the analogy I always give, if there's a, you know, there's a big boulder in the river, the water doesn't say, now why is this boulder appearing in my way? What can I do to get this boulder out of my way? It just flows. Acknowledges boulder, all right, fine. In the way, fine, I'm going this way. Over, under. This is a very powerful teaching for us to really understand. Phyllis Bottom says this as we are making conscious choices. She says, there are two ways of meeting difficulty. You alter the difficulties or you alter yourself to meet them. You either alter the difficulties or you alter yourself to meet them. Now remember, I just said there are some things you cannot alter. So when you cannot alter a thing, that means the only thing left is for you to what? To alter yourself, right? That's what's left. So we, how do I do that? I was thinking about the serenity prayer that many of us are familiar with, right? Lord, grant me the serenity to what? Accept what? What? And the courage to do what? And the what? The wisdom to what? See, know the difference. A lot of times we forget the difference. We think, oh, I can change this. Well, the past. No, 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 you can't change the past. That already is. What do you want to do now? So we have to be able to figure out what is ours to do, what is ours to change, what is ours to accept. And in the acceptance, it doesn't mean, oh, wow, I just... No, the acceptance means bold in the way, go around. Do what I need to do. Up and that's how we maneuver through our lives. So we're working with life. We're working with the flow. What is it in your life right now that needs to change, to shift, right? Or to adjust? Where do you have to go? What's saying you got to go over, under, around? What is the situation asking of you? That's a very powerful question that you can always ask yourself when you're in the midst of something that seems to be a challenge. What is this situation asking of me? What is this situation, this presentation that life has brought before me? What is it asking of me? And an even more powerful question might be, what is required of me right now? What is required of me? Am I being asked to let go of something or to have faith? What is being required of me when? Right now. Right now. That's a very powerful question. And it's a question that can alter your life and your situation because it is a question that will keep you in the present. What is required of me right now? See, sometimes we all off over here and what is required of me when? Right now. Because see, the present moment is the only place that you can effect change. It's the only place. I can't effect change yesterday. And I can't even effect change tomorrow. I can plan for some things about how I think things might go tomorrow. But the planning of tomorrow is taking place when? To now. Everything that is affected occurs in the now. That is the only place. So we need to learn how to be here and to be what? In the now. Turn to somebody and say, be here now. Be here now. See, some of you are here physically, your bodies are here, but your mind is someplace else, right? You're worried about what you got to do after you leave here, where you're going to go to eat, what you're going, you know, planning, you know, you're all over the place, but you're not present. And so when we are not present to the now moment, we are missing the reality of what is being called forth from us. We're missing the vitality and the realness of this now moment. Creativity happens when? Now. The need that you have is present now, but if you're not present to it, what happens is we go to sleep and we're all someplace else. And there's a big disconnect when you are not present to your life or you're not even in your own body. The body is present. You know, what does it say? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Sometimes we are absent from the body, and we're not present to anything except what we're here. We don't want to necessarily have to die. We want to learn how to be present right here. To be present in the body is also to be present with God. You don't have to leave the body to be present with God. We teach that what God is here and what? Now. Your good is where? Here and now. The answers and the solutions to your challenges and problems are what? Here, now. Access them now. This is what we're trying to do, to be present to the now. Christopher Morley said this. He said, time is a flowing river, and happy are those who allow themselves to be carried unresisting with the current. They float through easy days. They live unquestioning in the moment. So again, it's not about fighting with what is, but seeing what is, and then simply making a conscious choice about the course of action you want to take. Not about fighting what is, because what? It is what it is. And what it is what you get to name it, right? So it is what it is. We're not going to fight with what is. We're going to make a conscious choice about what we want to do with what is. That's where our power lies. What do I want to choose to do about it? What do I want to, or how do I want to choose to be in this situation? See, it's about setting my sails, adjusting my sails. Okay, I need to go here. This is here, but I'm going to choose this direction, this course of action, so that I can arrive at my destination. But when I spend time resisting what is, it's a waste of time and it throws you off course. Resistance takes up too much energy, right? It's hard on us. It's hard on you when you constantly live in a state of resistance. It's hard on you mentally. It's hard on you physically, you know, emotionally, spiritually. Resistance is hard. When you train, you do resistance training, right? It's building a muscle, but it's hard to do that, lift that resistance. It's too much energy. And when we approach life from a point of resistance, we struggle. We struggle and we weaken our own selves. There are some things that will help us to grow, but resistance is futile. We encourage the practice of non-resistance. The practice of non-resistance as a spiritual force, a spiritual energy, a spiritual direction, and not as a sign of weakness or resignation, but as a spiritual principle, right? A spiritual strength that is understanding that there is power in the flow and that there is struggle in resistance. And the fact that this spiritual law of non-resistance actually moved the nation, moved two nations. It moved Gandhi's nation. And it moved this nation, albeit maybe temporarily, but but we're going to move it again. We're going to move it again. But it moved a nation, right? It's powerful teaching, non-resistance. It's one of the most powerful teachings that I learned early on in my study of truth. Back in, probably the early late 70s, I came across a book by Imelda Shanklin titled, What Are You? And she's one of the old-time truth students. See, I like some of the old-time metaphysicians and truth, because they have a foundation. Now, today, a lot of it is fluff, but that's okay. A lot of it is, because that's where we are. We've gotten into the general, we don't want to go too deep. Spoon-feed me and giving it to me quick and fast and easy. But these old-time metaphysicians, they went right to the heart of it, to the core. They were hardcore. And she had a chapter on non-resistance that I think was one of the most powerful teachings on it as a spiritual approach to life. And so if you have a chance, hopefully maybe it's still in print. It's a Unity book by Imelda Shanklin. And understanding this law of non-resistance is what can help you deal with challenging times and situations that are stressful, and even challenging and stressful people. You know, you can sit up there and it takes two to argue, right? You can go toe-to-toe, but that's where you both are, toe-to-toe, mixing it up. Or you can decide, you know what, I'm going to bless you and release you. Sometimes that's the choice. Not negatively, I'm going to bless you, but I don't need to stand there and be in battle with the energy that you're presenting. I'm going to bless you and let that love, that light, that truth come from me and let it do its work. Because that will be more effective than if I stand there and get on the same level as you are and we go toe-to-toe down there. Seek a higher consciousness. So, we've got to start seeing then where we are resisting in life. Because it's going to show you, all right? What are those lessons and those experiences that keep showing up? And when it keeps showing up, maybe they're showing up because there's something that you are resisting by refusing to see it or to own it or to acknowledge it, right? To learn from it. And so it has to keep coming back again and again and again, hoping that one day you're going to what? See it, own it, acknowledge it, learn from it. Because, you know, it's hard to hear what you can't see and move past what is an obstacle if you are not able to see that this is what's blocking your way, your growth. You might have a particular charge or you might have a trigger, something that always triggers you. And if it's a trigger and it's a charge, it may be because you are resisting something, something you haven't healed, something you haven't acknowledged. So when it, you know, and that we keep letting by ignoring, it's like a small cut. Maybe you get a little light cut that with your attention of cleaning it and putting a little Band-Aid on it, some peroxide or whatever, boom, done. But if you refuse to acknowledge the cut or to take care of it, then maybe, you know, it gets a little infected because you didn't have a Band-Aid and you're exposing it to some dirt and some elements. So now it gets a little infected. And then if you choose to further ignore the infection that is taking place on the cut of your hand, well, maybe then that infection has to start affecting the body. Maybe the infection now begins through your continual ignoring it turns into some gangrene. And maybe when you continue to ignore the gangrene that now has manifested, well, then what? You might have to lose your hand. See? And it's an extreme example, but it's what we do. Life is trying to get our attention and to show us you need to address this. You need to heal this. You need to fix this wound. You need to cleanse it and be present to it so that it doesn't grow into something that festers in your life and then destroys your being. And so we have to recognize what is a trigger or what is it that I am unconsciously resisting and ignoring. I've got to be able to see what needs my attention and be willing to have the courage to face it, to deal with it, and to attend to it through truth. So the question is, what are you struggling with today? What are you fighting with in your life right now? It's resistance. Begin to recognize it and see it when it shows up because you can't heal what you can't see. You can't heal what you refuse to acknowledge. And the longer you refuse to acknowledge it, the stronger it grows and becomes. So we want to be in this wonderful state of acknowledging what is, seeing the what is, being present to it. And being present to the what is in a state of non-resistance. Right? To see what is without the judgment. See, that's what makes it hard for us to really want to acknowledge something because then we start going to labeling it and naming it and judging it and, oh, this is what they're doing. This is bad, so I'm not going to look at it because I've named it bad. No, it is what it is. See what's present. See, it's mine a little cut, needs a little peroxide and a Band-Aid. It'll be all right. But if you continue to ignore what is, what's showing up, it has to grow bigger and bigger to finally, it's so up close you cannot help, right? But see it. We don't want those types of experiences. So we want to be open and surrendered to the what is. Surrender. So being in a state of non-resistance is also being in a state of surrender. And again, surrender is not a state of resignation and a giving up state. That's a layman's term of surrender. But spiritually, surrender is about opening up. When you are surrendered, you are open. When you are surrendered, you are opening, you're opened up to that which is higher within you. You're opened up to the vastness of life, to the vastness of the divine. When you are open and surrendered, you're opening up to the more excellent way of being and being in this flow of life. When you're surrendered, the water is surrendered. It flows. Right? It's open to whatever is. Eckhart Tolle said, surrender is the simple yet profound wisdom of yielding to rather than opposing the flow of life. That is, you know, yield to it. Work with what is there. Work with the what is. Don't oppose it, because it's there. Work with it. And then he goes on to say, the only place where you can experience the flow of life is in the now. So surrender is to accept the present moment unconditionally and without reservation. It is to relinquish inner resistance to what is. So stop wishing things weren't so, or wishing that they would be different. You can make things different, but wasting time wishing it would be different is a waste of time. Acknowledge what it is and then set yourselves to make a new conscious choice. A new decision about what you want to do in the present moment. Don't wish it was, do you. Stop wishing this. Do you keep yourself positive in your choices, in your actions, and then flow with the go. Flow with the go. Be in that now moment, because that's where you're going to get your direction. That's where you get your guidance. That's where you get the answers. So don't worry about, oh, what ifs. Be present. So that you get that direction and you say, oh, the current of life, the current of God is moving me here. Boom, let me go here. Being present. Oh, the current of God of life is now moving me here. All right, my good is right here. See, there's a flow to life. But most of us are so afraid of living life that we get into trying to control the flow, push the water, trying to push a river. You can't push a river. You know, and the man said in the quote that life is like a river. So we have to learn, oh, let me go. Well, what is God giving me now? What is God directing me to? Where is he moving and pushing and guiding me to? You go with the flow, the presence, the power, the energy, the creativity of God, of life, is in this present moment. It is here and it is now. There was a wonderful quote from one of my colleagues from Greater Leadership, Washington. And she was saying that sometimes we get so caught up in the planning and in all of the process of life that we forget to be in this now moment. And when you are fully present, she says, when you're fully present to the now, you'd be surprised, because the presence then brings you everything that you need for the future. Everything comes in. So when I'm planning, doesn't mean we're not going to plan. But when we're planning for Stand Up for Humanity or for our 100th year, we're going to do the actual planning, but we do it from a state of being present, so that Spirit says, oh, this divine idea comes, well, let's do this. Oh, this idea comes, let's do that. You see what I'm saying? In the presence, there's a flow. Creativity will come. Your needs will be answered and met in this present moment. So we have a wonderful opportunity to handle anything that life may bring us, if we just remember that there is one presence and one power that is within us, in our lives, and in our affairs. And it is God the what? The good and the omnipotent. Omnipotent, omniscient, everywhere present, all-knowing, all-powerful God is present in this moment, here and now. Avail yourselves to it. Wake up, be present. Take a deep breath. Namaste. Namaste.